Welcome back to Proclaiming the One. This is Pastor Clint Poppy. Along with me today is Pastor John Schmidt. And we are joined, finally, done teaching Latin class, Vicar Bader. And so the three of us, we are serving here at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We're looking at the readings for the 13th Sunday after Trinity. We've examined in our first segment Psalm 74, or at least a portion of it, our introit for the day. And now we want to look at our gospel reading, Luke 10, 23-37. And I think most people, Christians, pagans, most people know this parable. It is a parable that transcends denominations and faith lines because it teaches a good moral story. And, Vicar, I'm going to have you read these words for us from Luke chapter 10.
Turning to the disciples, Jesus said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise."
Okay, we have some wonderful words here from Luke chapter 10. Most people know the story, the parable of the Good Samaritan. We don't like to think so much about the end of the story. You go and do likewise. And we certainly don't want to hear about the beginning or the preface to the parable of the Good Samaritan, the context that's going on, because this makes us think a little bit more. Pastor, when Jesus pulls his disciples privately off to the side, and he said, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." So, what was it that the disciples were seeing and hearing that everybody else longed to see and hear, but they didn't see and hear it?
The fulfillment of all those prophecies in the Old Testament about the one who would come, the one who would redeem Israel, the one who would restore God's honor, the one who would address the whole condition of mankind.
And so the fulfillment of the ages, the Messiah, the promised one, the savior of the world, the one that everybody longed for. Now, some people didn't see it and hear it simply because, as a matter of time, they lived in the past, they're dead and buried. But I think there's something more going on here, too. What about those who were still alive as Jesus walked and talked? and they did not see and hear. Did they just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time? Or was there another reason for their seeing but not believing, for their hearing but not listening?
Well, that's the key, is to understand the term seeing and hearing is that all this is done in faith. That obviously the ones who hated Jesus saw him, but didn't see him as the Messiah, didn't see him as the one whom God promised.
It was just a couple of weeks ago when Jesus cries, mourns, laments over Jerusalem because they did not know what would bring them true peace. Jesus. They did not recognize the time of the visitation. Jesus. And so here we have another way of Jesus saying exactly the same thing. Here Jesus is. It is God in the flesh in the midst of them. And in Luke chapter 10, in these verses, just right behind us at the very end of Luke chapter 9, this is where Jesus sets his face like flint and he heads toward Jerusalem because he has a job to do, and that is to suffer and die for the life of the world. He knows it. Don't let anybody delude you into thinking that Jesus didn't know what his mission was or any of that kind of nonsense that is out there in some of the liberal churches. Jesus is heartbroken because the fulfillment of the ages has come. Himself, God in the flesh. And some people refuse to hear and to believe. So now we have a lawyer who comes and puts him to the test. You know, there's a lot of people that are, for a variety of reasons, putting Jesus to the test. And sometimes Jesus plays along with them, and sometimes Jesus doesn't. Jesus can read their hearts. We can't. He asks a question. Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Vicar, you've been doing a lot of work on this particular text. What's wrong with this question? And, I mean, is there anything right with the question? But particularly, what's wrong with this question?
Well, I mean, sometimes we read over this so fast that we kind of don't think about it. But we'll listen to the question one more time. Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And right there kind of explains what's wrong with this situation. Normally, when we think of something that's inherited, we know that we don't have to do anything for it. It's just given to us. When your loved ones die, they know that they can't take anything with them from this world, so they leave it to you.
Yeah, well, some of them know that. Others want to figure out a U-Haul on the casket or the hearse.
Yeah.
But that's a topic for another day. Okay, you have identified the problem correctly. Doing and inheriting do not work together. If you want to think of it this way, you don't do to inherit. You must be. You must be a part of the family. You must be a blood relative. You must be named in the will. And so doing and inheriting are contradictory topics and understanding, and basically, the only thing that has to be done with regard to the inheriting is somebody's got to die. Somebody's got to die, and nobody wants to focus on that. So, Pastor, Jesus has a little fun with the lawyer here. And, you know, we could tell some lawyer jokes here, but I think Jesus has more fun with him than any of our lawyer jokes could possibly do it. Jesus turns it around to him. If you want to do something to inherit life, I'll play along with you. He said to him, Jesus said to the lawyer, what is written in the law? How do you read it? If you want to live by the law, well, then you're going to perish by the law. And the lawyer answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Pastor Schmidt, how did the lawyer do with regard to his answer?
He did quite well as far as looking at it legalistically. I love the way Jesus, instead of answering his initial question, poses another question. And it always makes me wonder what questions Jesus was asking when he was 12 years old in the temple. He was listening to their answers, but he was also asking other questions, and they were amazed at what he was asking. It was making them think, well, you wish that this guy would stop and think about his answer. But like it says later on, verse 29, he wants to justify himself and prove himself worthy of what it is that the whole issue here.
If you want to be saved by following the law, the only thing you can do is to justify yourself, because it's all about you. It's all about your thoughts, your words, and your deeds. And the man answered very well. He gave a brilliant summary of the law. And a summary of the first table of the law, love the Lord your God. Brilliant summary of the second table of the law, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus himself says these are the greatest commandments. They summarize the Ten Commandments. If you want to be saved by observing the law, well, there you have it. And Jesus acknowledges you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. Now here is a very, very key feature of the law that we need to remember. We know deep down inside of us that the law is unattainable. We cannot achieve the perfection that God demands of us by the law. Be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy. Be perfect as I, the Lord your God, am perfect. And so we have to do something to the law. We have to figure out a way to make the law doable. We have to take the law and put it into little bitty pieces and little bitty chunks so that somehow I can make it manageable for me. So instead of love the world, well, define world. Who is the world to me? Is it my house, my household? Is it my family? I want to put it in manageable chunks so that I might actually be able to achieve it. And that is exactly what the lawyer, who is very shrewd here, he is exactly what the lawyer wants. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, who's my neighbor? He wants the law dumbed down or pared down so that he can manage it. Define my neighbor in such a way that I can keep it. And don't define it in such a way that I can't keep it. This is the old Adam. This is the old Eve that is inside every one of us that wants to make the law doable when we know it is not. Hold on to that thought right there, because Jesus has a response to the question, and who is my neighbor? And that's the parable that we're all so familiar with. We need to take a short break. This is Proclaiming the One. We're looking at the gospel reading for the 13th Sunday after Trinity, Luke 10, 23 to 37, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Don't change that dial. We'll be right back.